Anyway, let's get into our word this morning. As I said, I'm not going to do a new series until probably the first of the year. And so I want to preach this morning. I think it's a very timely word. How many of you are weary of 2020? Amen. Not leery, but weary. as I said last week, when this thing started back in March, I was talking to Brent, and I said, they were on vacation, and I said, well, I can't see this going past Easter. I was wrong. It's Christmas. I can't see it, the end of it. Let's put it that way. I don't really know. But the thing is, we're weary. We're weary from all of the uncertainty. We're weary from shutdowns and masks and no toilet paper and just all kinds of stuff. We're just weary. One doctor says this and one doctor says that and one doctor says this and one says that, and we're just weary. And then we can't church. We can't do church. We can't do church like we used to do. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, as a shepherd, it's been a very, very difficult and emotional road for me. Because there are things that I cannot do that I've been doing for 20 some odd years that I can't do now. There are people that I feel need me that, again, not that I don't have a savior complex. You understand what I'm saying? That just I want to be there to love on them, to support them, to cry with them, to pray with them. I can't do that in the context of what I used to be able to do. And so for me, it's been an emotional toll on me, very heavy. And so I'm weary. I'm weary at what lies ahead, the uncertainty, the darkness that we see around us. And I think it's just all-consuming. I think the church, I do see a lot of wonderful things that are happening because, again, I don't think we've not rested. I think this church has stepped up in a way that I'm just so proud of all the work that has been done since March. It is an active church. But are you weary this morning? My message, as you can see, is entitled Perseverance. Perseverance. One of my favorite chapters, and actually one of my favorite books in all of the Bible, is Hebrews. I love Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, says, therefore, everybody understand that when you see the word therefore, you got to go back and find out what it's there for. Okay? So, therefore means, because of chapter 11, because of everything that we read or read in chapter 11, therefore, we also, notice this, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, notice what he says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, some say encumber us, and let us run with endurance or perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Again, Hebrews, as I said, is one of my favorite books in all of the Bible, because if you start in chapter 1 and you begin to read Hebrews, this letter, it always talks about better things. You know, that's the thing I love about Hebrews. How many of you like better things? Amen. You know, I don't want anything mediocre. I like better things. And so the writer of Hebrews always talks about better things, about how much better we have it in the new covenant than what they had in the old covenant. He talks about a better hope, a better confession, a better resurrection, better promises, a better high priest. All of these things he talks about as being better that you and I have in the new covenant. Now, again, when you think about it, there are two words that permeate the entire book of Hebrews. And these two words are simply, let us. Let us. Let us run. Let us hold fast. Let us not. All of these things are indicative of our responsibility. How many understand you have a responsibility in your faith journey? In other words, there are things we have to do. You know, it's not that we come in and we sit down in a Sunday school class or a service or a teaching and we by osmosis receive everything that's imparted to us or everything that's said to us. There are things that we have to do. We call those spiritual disciplines. There are things that we have to apply. There are disciplines that we have to engage in if we truly want to grow in our faith. Now, again, he talks about about better things and how much better you and I have it today in the new covenant than they had in the old covenant. But that all sounds good, right, on the surface. But here's the thing. The truth is, you and I cannot enjoy the abundant life Jesus purchased for us if we're not willing to persevere. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have what? That you might have life and have it in all of its abundance or all of its fullness. Well, here's the thing. You can't tap into that if you're not willing to persevere. What does it mean to persevere? Well, and again, I just want to say this. If you, I wish, you know, many people came to the faith. I'll just put it like this. They came into the faith with this idea that by giving their heart and life to Christ, making Jesus Lord of their life, that they would never have another problem. There are many people that live with that notion there, that all their problems would be solved, that they'd never have to fight another battle, and that everything's going to always turn out the way that they want it to turn out. And listen, if you've been saved longer than a day, you understand that's not true. Amen. It's absolutely not true. I'm alarmed, to be honest with you. I'm alarmed as I look across Christendom, and I see a lack of persistency among today's Christians. I see a lack of perseverance among Christians today. Again, that word perseverance or persistent is defined as to continue firmly in some course or state of To continue firmly in some course or state despite opposition or difficulties. To persevere stubbornly in a course or resolve. In other words, a stick-to-itness. You know, there used to be a commercial years ago about Band-Aid brand Band-Aids. I'm stuck on Band-Aids because Band-Aids stuck on me, right? Some of you watch TV too. A stick-to-itness. You see, you and I as Christians have been called to stick to something. To persevere. You know, the call to the Christian life is not a call to easy street. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that if you make Christ Lord of your life, you'll never have another bad day. You'll never be in another bad mood. You'll never have another fight with your husband or a fight with your wife. You'll never have to argue with the kids. I wish I could tell you that. I'd be a liar. Because you probably fought this morning before you even got to church. I'm meddling now, I know. The call to the Christian life is not one to easy street. You know what it's called? It's called to a committed life. Amen. You know, the problem with today's believer, as I see it, is that we have so many today that want the thrill of the day. We want to come into church. We want the music to be right because we want to feel good. You know, we want the doodads running up down our spine. We want to get that sensation. And listen, I understand. I love the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. We want to experience that. But life is more, and faith has to be deeper than what I feel right now. It has to be. My faith has to be better than everything positive going on in my life because life is not always positive. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You know, we want the thrill of the date, but Jesus is not after a date. He's after a commitment of a marriage. He's looking for a bride. And that's where we're lacking today. Do Christians have difficulty? Absolutely. Do Christians contend with injustices in our world? You better believe it. You see, sooner or later, we're going to run into some insurmountable or seemingly insurmountable obstacle as you and I journey in this thing called faith. We're going to run into opposition. We're going to run into some roadblocks. And I mean, you think about some of the great characters of the Bible. When Abram was called to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and go to a land that God said, I would show you, do you know what the first thing he ran into when he gets to the promised land? A famine. Think about it. He's walking in obedience, left his home, and journeyed to a place that he didn't even know. But when he got there, he goes right into a famine when the children of Israel were ready to inherit the promised land. You think about it. It was occupied by giants that had to be removed. It wasn't easy street. You know, as soon as the disciples had gotten finished gathering up the remnants, you know, they fed the 5,000 plus women and children. And when they got done, they gathered all the remnants up. Jesus said, now get in the boat, go to the other side. In their act of obedience, they get out in the middle, and guess what happens? A storm comes. A storm comes. See, isn't that the way life happens? You know, it's not, sometimes you and I, we have to be very careful because sometimes we start looking at the storms in our own life like right now, and we think somehow we miss God's will. Or maybe that we're out of God's will and that's the reason the storms are blowing and the wind is contrary to us. Not so. Not so. Just because you're going through a storm right now doesn't mean that you're outside of the will of God. In fact, these people were smack dab in the middle of God's will, and they go into a famine, they find giants in the land, and they get a storm while they're in the act of obedience. So it happens to all of us. Again, all of these things happen as they follow God's calling on their lives, and that's the same for us. As you and I journey through this life of faith, we're going to run into stops and roadblocks and dead ends. And here's the thing, but how you and I handle those things will ultimately determine the success of our journey. You know, there's so many people that get in the starting blocks of life and they get ready for that journey of faith. And when that gun sounds, they take off, but they don't have the perseverance to run to the end. And that's where I believe that the church, that's where the message comes in today. I think we're weary. I think people today are weary. I think believers are weary. You know, there are things that are happening that we didn't expect, we didn't anticipate, nor did we want. And yet here we are. But we have to persevere to the end. Listen, every one of us, God has a plan for. If you didn't know that, God has a plan for you. I don't care who you are, where you came from, the circumstances of your birth does not matter. Your family structure right now, your family life, it has absolutely no bearing on the fact that God created you on purpose with purpose. Everyone has a plan and a purpose that God has. And one of the greatest moments that you can have in life is to realize God's plan for your life. You know what it does? When you tap into what God created you for, it gives you the most joy and satisfaction and gives Him the most glory. Amen. And there is a place in God where the monuments of man lose all of their luster. It's the perfect will of God. My question to you this morning is this: do you have staying power? Do you have staying power? When life takes a nosedive, when things take a nosedive, do you have the ability to persevere and hang in tough? You know, one wise person put it like this: courage is the desire to begin something, but perseverance is the determination to continue something. Again, we can all start something, but the prize doesn't go to the one who starts. It goes to the one who finishes. It's one thing to start our journey of faith. It's one thing to start our walk of obedience, but it's altogether a different story to finish those things. And so that's what we're called to do. Again, perseverance is the courage to continue the dream that God has called you for or created you for. The ability to persist is the difference between mediocrity and success in your journey. I like what President Calvin Coolidge said one time. He kind of hit the nail on the head when he put it like this, and I quote, he said, "Press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is filled with educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are overwhelmingly powerful," end quote. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Listen, the book of Hebrews, the context of it, it's being written to a group of people that were having doubts. Not only were they having doubts, these people were going through the ringer because they were under such persecution and mockery and all kinds of stuff, and they were actually being tempted to go back into the legalistic practices of Judaism. It wasn't easy for them. Life wasn't easy for them, and it seemed that no matter how hard they tried, they never could seem to make any headway. It's like they take two steps forward, they end up three steps back. Anybody relate to that? You know, you feel like you're here, but then you end up back here, and then all of this stuff is going on. They would take the writer of Hebrews, again, writes to them to speak about the value of perseverance. And again, I love the way he starts in chapter 12, verse 1 in our text. He said, "Therefore..." And again, like I said, you've got to go back and understand the context. What is it there for? Well, he's referring back to Hebrews chapter 11. What is chapter 11? It is the great hall of faith. You go read chapter 11, and in that chapter, he lists examples, one right after another, that kept the faith in spite of overwhelming obstacles. They persevered. They endured, many of them, hard times, hardships, sickness, disease. In fact, if you read that chapter, it says some of them were stoned and some of them were sawn in two, like cut in two, tortured, died for the faith, but yet they're examples. See, that's what he's wanting us to pick up on, because you know what? Just when you feel like it's time to wave the white flag and say no mas, he said, see that you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Well, Hebrews 11 gives us the biblical witnesses. Well, what about us? What about the people in our lives? that we can look to that have endured hard times and difficulties and disappointments and curveballs that life happens to throw. Look at those people that endured and they're still here. They're still maintaining. You know, I love to listen to people that have stories of how God, you know, in the midnight hour, they're sitting in the prison cell, much like Paul and Silas, and yet rather than sit there lamenting about how bad life is and how unfair things are, they begin to sing a song of praise and adoration to God. How can they do that? Because they live with perseverance. They have a tenacity about them because they bought in to the reality of who God is. God's not just to make me, you know, Christ didn't come just to make me feel good in this life. He came to save me eternally and give me a destiny. And they understood that. You know, he begins again chapter 12 by saying, therefore, since all of these men and women in chapter 11 endured and persevered in the faith, he said, then go ahead and get rid of that junk that slows you down and hinders you. Notice what he says, lay aside every weight and sin. We understand sin, right? Sin's bad. Sin devastates our lives. Sin has a payday. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It always has a payday. But he said, you know, so we understand sin, but he said, lay aside the weight. What's a weight? Anything that slows us down. Anything that distracts us from the call of God on our lives. Now think about it. If you've ever done track and field events, if you were ever a track star, you ran whatever race, the idea was to be as light as you could. The clothing that created for runners is, you know, very thin, very lightweight material. The shoes nowadays, it's just amazing how light they make runner shoes. I mean, they're like 4 ounces or whatever. I mean, it's just incredible to think about. Why do they do that? Because any added weight will slow you down from your top speed. That's what he's saying. He said, look at life. See, some things are not sinful, but they are harmful. Let me say that again. Some things are not sinful, they are harmful. They slow us down from the journey. They encumber us. That's what one translation calls it, that we're encumbered. Encumbered means to be ensnared or to be held. He said, get rid of that stuff. It could be a bad attitude. How many understand bad attitudes can sabotage your faith? It can sabotage your future. He said, get whatever it is. Get rid of that stuff. So my question is, you know, and again, I think many people started off this year with the idea that this is going to be a wonderful year. As Dr. Phil says, how's that working out for you? Listen, these were all unexpected things, but here's the thing. We can't be shackled because of a pandemic. My hope is not in what's happening around me. I can't neglect the call of God on my life just because we're in the middle of a pandemic. So how do we do this? My question to you is, how's your race? How's your race right now? Are you seeing progress or are you seeing regression? Are you getting stronger? And again, I think one of the things that really, as a pastor for me, if you've ever watched those nature shows, most of the animals that are picked off by predators are picked off. Why? Because they've been isolated. You know, they're the stragglers. And because of the way we're having to do service and stuff online, and I love the format. I love the ability to be able to be online. And I'm in somebody's living room right now. I'm at coffee table with somebody right now. I enjoy that. I would rather see them here. But I understand. And we accommodate it. But listen, the mission goes forward. The ministry continues. And again, the chance and the opportunity for people to regress, I think, is greater this year than any time in my lifetime. And that's why I think the body has to take care of the body. That's why we always say, look out for your neighbor. Reach out to those that you care, that our church, this is a church family. And family, we need to check on one another. You know, I can't do ministry like I used to. And again, it's a burdensome thing to me. But the reality is, that's where we are. So are you seeing progression or regression in your spiritual journey? So in order to develop for the next few moments, I want to give you a few things that you can do to develop staying power. If you want to be like a Band-Aid, where you can stick to something, then I want to give you a few things this morning. Number one, here's the first one. You need to know the value of perseverance. You need to know the value of perseverance. Listen, nobody ever achieved anything great by not persevering through. I don't care what it is. If you're academics, you've got to put time in the books. There's nothing worse than to see somebody with natural talent squander it because they're not willing to put the extra work in to get excellent. Does that make sense? Whatever it is, whether it's academics, whether it's athletics, you know, the people that make it to the big leagues are the ones that put in the extra hours, the extra time. They don't just go to mandatory practices. They find time all the time to enhance their drills and their skills, and they're trying to be the best that they can possibly be. Listen, most people, and I think one of the most underrated character traits today is perseverance. The ability to stick to something until you finish. You know, it's easy to look at people as that we view successful and convince ourselves that they got where they are because of their intellect or their wealth or their talent, or maybe they had good connections, or maybe they were just plain lucky. Right place, right time. Listen, when it comes to fulfilling God's plan for our lives, He's endowed us, listen, He's given us every gift we need to fulfill what He's called us to do. Do you know that God doesn't call us to something that He hasn't qualified us to do? Let me say that again. God has not called us to do something He has not qualified us to do. So again, He's given us everything that we need. I always talk about the miracles in the house. Everything that we need. My vision has always been, from day one, God laid this on my heart 27 years ago when we walked into the church for the very first time to become pastors here, 1,000 active members. And the operative word is active, okay? But it's 1,000 active members. That vision, even during the pandemic, has not waned at all. Hasn't waned at all. And the thing behind it is, not because numbers, I don't really care. I'm not looking to get my name in a magazine or whatever. I don't really care. You know, the point being is, we have a job to do. And if we can make an impact, what we're doing right now with the church that we have right now, how much more can we do with greater numbers? That's the way my brain works. Again, every ministry that we need to reach the hurting of our communities right here in the house. Everything we need to do to touch hurting lives around us is right here in the house. Again, concerning the dream that God's given to you, you don't need more ability, you don't need more money, you don't need more friends, you don't need more luck. All you need is to persevere. Just to get at it. Those who achieve their dreams do so because they have the courage to continue moving forward in spite of the stops, the roadblocks, and the dead ends. Thomas Edison said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Isn't that good? There's so many people that are just one prayer away from a breakthrough. There's so many people, I believe, that are just one more opportunity to witness to an unsaved loved one that they would come to Christ if they just did it one more time. How often do we throw that towel in too soon before all of that happens? The problem is not that people lack a dream, because I think most people know where they want to go and what they want to become. They have that destination in mind. They just don't go far enough. We were talking yesterday in this group that I'm with, and they were asking me about some of my military training, and the odd thing was the training, they wanted to know, why did you fold your clothes the way you folded your clothes? Now, I don't know how it was in other branches of the service, but I know in the Air Force, they had in their beds, they had spindles, for headboard and footboard, that spindles that were spaced evenly apart. And you had to fold your clothes in such a manner, you know, no wrinkles, nothing, that everything had to be square. You had to be able to take that and slide it through without it touching the sides. They wanted your bed to be made with such tautness, with hospital corners, that they could flip a coin and it bounce off of that thing. And they said, well, what's the purpose of that? I said, the purpose is they wanted to see if you had the ability to stick to something and pay attention to the most insignificant, in your mind, details that they gave you. Because if you can't pay attention to the insignificant, what you deem insignificant, how are you going to be trusted with something of life and death importance later on? See, that's the thing there. Most people know where they want to go. They know what they want to accomplish. They have that destination. They just don't have the stick-to-itness to pay attention to the small things to get them there. Naaman, think about Naaman. He persevered. You know why? He goes to a muddy river. He dips 7 times. He persevered through it all. He persevered through his own bias. Why do I have to get in this mud hole? We could go back. There's, in my homeland, there's pristine rivers over there. Why are you making me get in a mud hole? Well, because God said so. You know, had the children of Israel not kept walking around the walls of Jericho, no matter how ridiculous that was, the walls would never have fallen down. They persevered and got through every personal bias and objection. Can you imagine? Joshua standing up and said, okay, soldiers, skilled fighters, here's the battle plan. We're going to get up today, Monday, and we're going to walk around the wall. And you can't say a word. And then we're going to come back and have a snack. And then Tuesday, we're going to get up and we're going to walk around that wall. And you can't say a word, and we're going to come back and have a snack. And we're going to do that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. On Sunday, we're going to get up and we're going to walk around it 7 times. And you can't say a word. But now on the last time, when the trumpet sounds, then we're going to praise God. Now, that's ridiculous. But it's what God said. And the victory came because they persevered. Can you imagine the soldiers, maybe the first sergeants or sergeant majors getting up there like, I can't believe how stupid this, you know, just walking, talking to themselves. Listen, I'm sure human nature is the same. I would have done the same thing. In fact, I did. I criticized many. I had opinions about many of my and some of you watching, I still respect you. I thought, this is ridiculous. Why are we doing it this way? Who cares if my T-shirts fit through the spindle? I'm just going to put them on tomorrow. You know, right now, I don't like folding clothes because of that very reason. So I do my laundry. I've got an extra bedroom, and I just go dump them out because I'm going to put them on during the week anyway. I know. I hope my wife's not watching. She'll check. She'll get on to me. Listen, no, they had to persevere through all of their objections to accomplish what God called them to do. So the first thing you need to do is to understand the value of it. Number two, develop a forward-looking mentality. When you describe yourself, let me ask you, do you consider yourself one who casts vision, or do you consider yourself one who keeps looking over your shoulders? See, because therein lies the difference between those who achieve deep spiritual roots and those who are shallow walkers. Are you looking forward or are you looking back? Listen, if I'm going to persevere, then I must keep my focus there. What's ahead of me? You know, it's like the great painter that was asked which work was his best work. He replied, my next one. My next one. Again, notice what the writer of Hebrews tells us. He gives us two specific things that we have to do if we're going to run with patience. And again, we understand sin. He said, get rid of sin. See, today we want to flirt with sin. You know, the great dilemma of Christendom today is we want to see how close to the world we can get and still call ourselves a believer. We want to learn what we can tolerate, you know, and still call ourselves a believer when the Bible says we're to come out from among the world and be separate. There ought to be a clear demarcation line between people of faith and people of the world. In the last 50 years, we've blurred those lines. You know, so we want to have one foot here and one foot here, and we want the best of both worlds. But the Bible says you got to decide because you can't serve two masters. You got to go one way or the other. And again, we understand sin. He said, break with it. Do away with sin. But again, he said, throw aside every weight. Again, the weights are those things that slow us down. Thomas Edison achieved many great things in his life because he refused to dwell on past failures. He was always looking forward. You know, here's the thing. Yesterday ended last night. I can't do anything about it. I can't go back and undo the words that I spoke. I can't go back and undo the deeds that I did. I can't go back and undo the neglect that I may have given, or not given, I should say. I can't do any of that. The mistakes, all the things I wish I had done, no amount of wishing can change anything about it. So how do I handle it? Well, confess it. Make an attempt for restitution if you've got to do that, and then move on. Because if you're constantly looking over your shoulder, you'll never develop the perseverance you need to get it to the prize where you're wanting to go. Amen. You'll never get there. Listen, don't allow your past to paralyze you from realizing God's purpose. Yes. Not only that, but you also, we have people that look to the past for their past victories. Now, we understand failure, but what about past victories? See, I think one of the problems with the 21st century church is we have a little success. You know, we have a little growth. We have a little, you know, we have some sort of measurable tangibles, and we get excited about it, and we want to rest on our laurels and say, well, haven't we done good? I'll tell you, you know, with this, with our food distribution, I mean, again, we get tired. It's tiring. And we don't have to do that. I mean, I called and said, we'll do it. We don't have to. I mean, we could take it easy. You know, that's a lot of work. It's hard. We get done. I mean, I'm exhausted. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. Just the reality. But we do it anyway. Why? Because we know it's a blessing to the community. There are people that need what we have to offer, and we do it anyway. You know, it'd be easy. And I think some churches today get to that place where they just simply want to coast. They have some measure of success. You know, they broke the 150 barrier. Praise God. We're just going to coast along now. And they're content. Somebody asked me one time, Pastor, when is it going to be enough? In fact, not long ago. When is it going to be enough? Here's what I said. It'll be enough when I hear my Father say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Until then, we work, we minister, we serve, we do everything that we possibly can do to make an impact in the world around us. That's it. That's it. So I've got to understand the value of perseverance. Number two, what did I say? I got to understand, then I have to develop that forward-looking mentality. Here's number three. I'm going to hurry up and close. Number three, start.
Amen. That's right.
Start. I know it's very simplistic, but how many people live their lives intending to do something and they never get around to doing it? They never get around to doing it. You know, many people have been aiming for years. Well, I'm going to do it. No, you're not. You've been saying that 50 years. You know, they've been aiming to do something. Listen, the reality is you'll never hit the target if you don't start pulling the trigger.
Amen.
You'll never get there. You know, there comes a time in every facet of life, whether it's my personal self-disciplines, my spiritual self-disciplines, there comes a time in our life when we will never get there if we don't pull the trigger. We can aim, you know, it's like the people say, well, I'm just waiting for this. You know, I'm waiting for my ship to come. You've heard me say this for years. I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Listen, I came to tell you today, it ain't coming. It sank. Not coming. And if that's what you're waiting on, then you'll be waiting for the rest of your life. There comes a time when we've got to stop aiming and start shooting. I love what Malcolm Forbes said. I quote, he said, vehicles in motion use their generators to charge their own batteries. You can't recharge your battery when you're parked in the garage, unless you're a golf cart. You know, that's pretty good right there. Yeah, you know, that reflects the law of inertia.
Yeah.
The law of inertia says a body at motion tends to remain in motion, and a body at rest tends to remain at rest. Do you know it takes greater energy to start an object moving than it does to keep one going? I'm telling you, this week, Thanksgiving is a perfect example. I do this Israeli martial arts. I do Krav Maga, and I do it pretty regularly throughout the week. Well, this week I kind of took, you know, it's turkey week, you know? Gobble till you wobble, slurp till you burp type thing, all that kind of stuff. And so I skip. Only two times. And I decided to go. I thought, you know what? I ate too much turkey. I need to go. I like to die. I mean, I'm still hurting. Why? Because this body stopped. And it's a lot harder to get this big old body moving than it was to keep it moving.
Amen. Amen.
So what I'm saying is, if you want momentum in life, you got to start. You can't talk about the ministry you're going to do or what you're hoping to get involved in. You got to get involved.
Amen.
You have to start doing something. Move something right now. Because again, the law of inertia, whether it's a space shuttle, on a launch pad, an airplane in a hangar, or a man in a lazy chair. You got to get up and start doing something. It takes a lot of energy to get started, but once you get started, the energy necessary is reduced to keep it going. Again, before we can persevere in accomplishing anything, we've got to begin pursuing God's plan. We can't continue putting off starting something. We'll never make it to the finish line until we start running the race. Again, I can stay in the starting block all my life, but I'll never win the prize. To he who overcomes, To he who overcomes, he will receive the crown of life.
Amen.
You know the hardest step to take is always the first one. That's true in life and it's true in faith. It must have been, don't you think it was difficult for Abram to leave everything to go to a land he did not even know? How difficult that must have been. Again, how difficult must it have been for Naaman to listen to the servant girl to say, hey, go dip in that mud hole called the Jordan River because God said so. How difficult was that to take that first step when his pride said there's better rivers in the homeland? He would have died a leper had he not taken the first step. So what has God called you to accomplish? Have you ever thought about that? Why are you on this planet? Why are you breathing this air? You ever thought about that? Everybody here, again, regardless of the circumstances of your birth, was born on purpose with purpose. What is that purpose? What are you living for? Again, these are important questions that we need to answer if we're going to develop staying power, because when you have purpose and reason for being, you can endure anything. One of the things that keeps me going and gets me up, and again, this has been a very heavy emotional toil on me with this pandemic because it ministry is a lot different than what I typically do, but you know what? I get up every day because I know that there's somebody out there that needs a ray of sunshine. They need some light. And it's my job and it's our job as believers to be that light, because everything they put their hope in, you know, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Everything that the world has promised us to be stable and to be enduring has not been stable nor enduring. And yet you and I as a believer have something that will not, heaven and earth will pass away before God's word falters.
Amen.
And we have that hope. Listen, Solomon said in Proverbs, if you read 24, he wrote about the sluggard. All of us have a little sluggard in us. It's so easy today to find, you know, excuses are a dime a dozen or cheaper. You know that?
Yeah.
You know, we can find excuses not to begin our devotions in the morning or whenever you do them. We can find excuses why not to do our exercise program. We can find excuses why we shouldn't be involved in this ministry or rehearse for this or to be involved with that and whatever. They're dime a dozen or cheaper. See, the key to overcoming the law of inertia in our lives is to start doing something. I love the old adage that goes like this. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. No true statement. Last thing is this. Crystal, Aaron, if you guys will come on back. Well, she's gone. Here's the last one. Expect to work hard. If you're going to develop a stick-to-itness and a perseverance, you've got to expect to work hard. I don't know why we've changed in our culture where we don't expect or want hard work. I think about my grandfather. I think about my dad. My dad was one of the hardest working men I've ever met in my life. Firefighter, had a roofing business or a construction business on the side, mainly roofing. And if that wasn't enough, he liked to farm. He called it a garden. I said, Dad, it's a garden to you, but I have to hoe it. It's a farm. And we worked. You know, Saturday morning when Looney Tunes was coming on, I wanted to find myself in his easy chair watching Tom and Jerry, Foghorn Leghorn. That's a joke, boy. That's a joke. My dad come to me early in the morning. I mean, it's like sun hadn't even got up yet. And he's like, boy, come on, we got to go to work. What do you mean? I've been to school all week. Listen, if you're going to develop perseverance, you got to understand it's going to be hard work. It takes a lot. Listen, if you're going to excel in athletics, it takes a lot to go do the extra work required to excel. If you're going to persevere in your faith, it takes a lot of motivation and a lot of work to get up to do your devotions, to dedicate your time to prayer, to fasting, to service, all of those things. It requires a lot. And there's a lot of people not willing to pay it. They don't develop the perseverance. Listen, things don't always turn out the way that we would like them to. We get into a project, we find out it's harder than what we thought, taking longer than what we expected. Things happen. But how we respond to that says a whole lot about the depth of our spiritual journey. Listen, this is not easy street. It's not tiptoe through the tulips. This life is a battle. It's hard. We're engaged in a war. And we cannot run, we cannot fight if we're always looking back to the past. Therefore, seeing we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off every weight and sin that does so easily ensnare us. And let us run with perseverance, determination, commitment to finish. Your race is different than mine. Your race is different than mine. Mine's different than yours. We run our race looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. My word to you today is hard work's not going to kill you. Not going to kill you. So as I close this morning, do you have staying power? Do you have staying power? Are you living a life of perseverance? Are you staying the course when everything in you says to quit? That's the difference in tapping into the abundant life. And I'm convinced the reason a lot of people say, well, that Christianity thing, it just doesn't work for me, because you haven't worked for it. You get out what you put in. I'm not doubting anybody's salvation. Don't read between the lines there. But the difference between the one who lives that overcoming, abundant life is the one who's willing to get up and persevere through everything. When the doctor says there's nothing can be done, the one who perseveres says, you know what? I know in whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able. When you're facing an insurmountable obstacle or situation or something in front of you, one who perseveres says, I know that my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to that power that works in me. That's the one who perseveres. Are you that today? Would you stand with me this morning? See, sometimes we need a little bit of motivation. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, therefore. Why? Because all these people did it. You can do it too. If you have people of faith in your heritage and your ancestry, I know pastoring here for 27 years, when I got here to this church that had gone through the ringer for years, there was a handful of people here, 30 people, that had a dream, that had persevered through some of the most difficult circumstances a church could ever go through. They persevered. And they began to fill me with hope and with faith. And they kept saying, young man, God promised. What was it that caused them to say that? Because they persevered. They knew he who promised is faithful. And he's unfailing. Here's what he says in Hebrews. He gives us examples. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. He goes on. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his sons. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. By faith, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. He goes on. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Notice what he says. Who through faith, persevered through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. But then he goes on. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and a change and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. But then he adds this. Of whom the world was not worthy of them. They persevered to the very end. He said, because of them, And because of everyone that we have in our, whether it be examples of elderly people in our church or people that have gone through the ringer, we look at them. Therefore, because of them, we run with patience and perseverance. What does it mean? It means we'll make it. We'll make it. One last thing. Sometimes there's an old song, I don't know what it is. It's a Christmas song. It's one of these cartoon things. It says, you put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. I don't know what it is, but see, that's it. As long as you have the determination, if you've ever done any type of endurance thing, whether it's in the military, whether it's in school or athletics, there's times when your body screams to stop, to sit down, to take it easy. But if you have that determination, one more foot, one more, one more, one more. See, that's the attitude we develop as a believer. Keep on going. Keep on persevering. Because one day that trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we're going to go up to our eternity with Him. I want you to bow with me. If you're online this morning, if you'll comment, we'll pray with you now. But let me ask you, do you have staying power this morning? Are you running that life of perseverance this morning? Have you been overwhelmed with 2020 and maybe you've regressed this year instead of progressed? I want to pray for you this morning, friend. I love you with all of my heart, and I know that God's got something incredibly special waiting on us if we'll just persevere. If you're here this morning and if you're online, you say, you know, Pastor, pray for me. I want to develop perseverance. I want to run my race with perseverance. I understand the obstacles and the roadblocks and all of these things and the hindrances, but I want to keep running my race. I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to keep looking over my shoulder. I want to keep my eyes set on what is ahead of me. Just say a prayer for me today. If that's you, would you slip your hand right right down? I want to pray for you this morning. Write them right down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Online, if you'll comment, I'll pray with you this morning. Listen, the prize doesn't go to those who start. It goes to those who finish. The crown is not given to those who start. The crown is given to he who overcomes, he who endures to the end. That's where the crown is given. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I love you so much. And God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that in this crazy year that we've had, again, it's not caught you off guard and it's not slowed your plan one bit. But Lord, for us emotionally, it has really taken a toll on us. Lord, many have become weary. But Father, I pray that today, Lord, we have that stick-to-itness, Lord, that would resurrect itself in our hearts and our lives. That we'll run our race and we'll do like Paul said, be not weary in well-doing. Lord, every hand that went up and Lord, everyone online this morning that Lord needs to develop that perseverance, Lord, I pray that we would keep our eyes set ahead of us. Lord, not looking to the past, not looking to the things that happened yesterday or yesteryear, but Lord, that we would keep moving forward, that we would keep progressing and persevering through every stop and roadblock and dead end, Lord, because you've got something in store for us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live every day with that mindset that we keep moving forward because you never stop. You never stop working. Lord, I pray that we never stop. Lord, there are people around us that are hopeless. May we give hope. Lord, there are people around us that are dwelling in darkness. May we shine the light. Father, I pray that we would never grow weary doing those things. But Lord, every day we lace up our shoes and we put on our work pants and our work gloves and we go out and we become ambassadors for you and we make the impact that you have created us and called us to do. Let us run with perseverance, regardless of what life throws at us. And Father, I pray a blessing upon every person here. I pray, Father, you'll go with us today. Give us a wonderful afternoon, and Lord, give us a great week. Lord, every day may we keep running our race and may we keep shining the light of hope to those who have no hope. Lord, should you tarry, bring us again at next appointed time. Again, I love and bless each one. Those that are online today, I speak a blessing over them and favor in their hearts and in their lives. Go with us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. If you joined us online, I look forward to seeing you again. Thank you for being with us. I love you very much. See you next time.
My God will never.